This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. First this hour, the presidential race. John McCain has surpassed Barack Obama in many polls, with about 50 days to go before the election. The addition of Sarah Palin to the Republican ticket has transformed the campaign. And tonight, ABC News is airing more of Charlie Gibson's interviews with the Alaska governor. In this excerpt, Gibson tries to get at the discrepancy between Palin's insistence that she said thanks but no thanks for federal funding to the infamous Bridge to Nowhere, and her earlier support for that project.
Every state has their embarrassment.
But you were for it before you were against it. You were solidly for it for quite some period of time until Congress pulled the plug.
I was for infrastructure being built in the state, and it's not inappropriate for a mayor or for a governor to request and to work with their Congress and their congressmen, their congresswomen, to plug into the federal budget, along with every other state, a share of the federal budget for infrastructure.
But
what I supported was a link between a community and its airport, and we have found that link now.
Well, as the polls shift in McCain and Palin's favor, many Democrats are becoming unnerved. Some complain that Barack Obama has not been aggressive enough in combating Republican attacks and distortions of his record. Obama, campaigning today in Dover, New Hampshire, made clear he's aware of those concerns.
Here's what I can guarantee you, that we are going to be hitting back hard. We have been hitting back hard, but we're hitting back on the issues that matter to families.
Meanwhile, John McCain was on the ABC show The View this morning, talking up, who else, Sarah Palin.
Historically, presidential elections have been about the top of the ticket, not the number two spot. But NPR's Mara Liasson wonders if this year will be different.
Sarah Palin could be the exception that proves the rule about running mates, that they rarely make a difference in the outcome of the race.
We know that they don't matter and that they don't have a direct effect on the vote. At least we have no evidence that they have a direct effect.
That's political scientist James Campbell from the State University of New York at Buffalo. Not since Lyndon Johnson brought his home state of Texas to the Kennedy ticket in 1960 has a vice presidential candidate mattered. Campbell cites poorly received choices for vice president. Dan Quayle, for instance, whose ticket won. Those who performed well, Lloyd Benson in his famous debate with Quayle, and still lost. But Campbell says running mates can have an impact.
They have an indirect effect by changing how people may think of the presidential candidate.
And that's what Sarah Palin appears to have done for John McCain.
And may I say that I'm so happy to be introduced to you by Governor Palin today. But I can't wait until I introduce her to Washington, D.C.
McCain has barely left Palin's side since he picked her, and for good reason. She's brought him a big jolt of excitement and celebrity and a boost in the polls. There was once another vice presidential pick, Geraldine Ferraro, who was also a big hit for the first few weeks, but ran aground over questions about her family finances. And, says Campbell, it remains to be seen how Palin will fare over time.
A lot of this is still unknown. She's made a terrific first impression, I think, certainly on Republicans, and I think also on swing voters. I mean, Democrats have been put off guard by this, and in some cases have been very shrill in their attacks, which I think has also helped her.
One thing the Palin pick has done is to flummox the Obama campaign, which hasn't seemed quite sure how to deal with her. Here's Obama's chief strategist, David Axelrod, on Fox News Sunday.
This ultimately isn't a race between us and Sarah Palin. It's a race between Barack Obama and John McCain. They're the candidates for president.
But if the idea was to avoid engaging Palin directly, Obama hasn't always followed the script. Here he is on CNN, contrasting his executive experience to hers, choosing to focus only on her tenure as mayor.
Governor Palin's town of Wasilla has, I think, 50 employees. We've got 2,500 in this campaign. I think their budget is maybe $12 million a year. We have a budget of about three times that just for the month. So I think that our ability to manage large systems and to execute, I think, has been made clear over the last couple of years.
The Obama camp also complains about the celebrity treatment Palin is getting. Huge, adoring crowds and not enough media scrutiny, they say. Sounds like how Hillary Clinton's campaign used to complain about Obama. There is one member of the Obama team, however, who says he knows how to handle her. And he's the only one who will have to face her one-on-one on October 2nd in St. Louis.
Folks, it's 2008. There are an awful lot of very,
very accomplished women hold in high public office that I debate and we beat up each other every day in the United States Senate. Try debating Barbara Mikulski. Try debating Barbara Boxer. Try debating Olympia Snow.
And then Biden said,
are there pitfalls? Yeah. There are pitfalls of two people with different genders or different races or different ethnicities debate one another. There are pitfalls. You worry about, you may say something, either person may say something that comes off the wrong way. But
sounds like Joe Biden is both confident and a little wary of his upcoming debate with Palin, who at least so far has done what few vice presidential candidates have ever done, shake up the race for president. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.